16 games today start, 16 more tomorrow. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and so glad that you joined us for this broadcast today. This is going to be a very interesting topic and a very necessary topic for us to discuss here on the radio program today. The topic that I'm referring to is the topic of orphans and the topic of adoption. We've heard a lot of talk about this most recently, just in the immediate time period that we find ourselves in. There's been a lot of talk recently in evangelicalism about adoption and about orphan care. And we really want to look at this issue in a little bit greater depth here today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to be joined in a little bit by Johnny Carr. Johnny is the author of the book that we're going to be talking about today. And the title of the book is called Orphan Justice: How to Care for Orphans Beyond Adopting. The verse right away that comes through everyone's mind, I know, when we speak about this subject of orphans or adoptions is the verse that's found in James chapter 1 and in verse 27. There we find James in that extremely practical book. By the way, James is a diagnostic book. There's a few of these in the New Testament scriptures. And being a diagnostic book, James is trying to diagnose a problem. The problem is this. The problem is that a person is making a profession of faith with their lips, but there are things taking place in their lives that are not matching up with what is being said in their lips, or with their lips. And so that's what James is all about. He is probing. He is trying to diagnose what is the disconnect between what's being said with the lips versus what is actually being lived out in the life. And so there's what James is doing in his book. Now, it's in that book then with that diagnostic approach to it. James is saying, you say this, but this is what I see in your life. With that diagnostic approach, James then says this in James chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So James very succinctly in that verse says, you know, if you want some way to test whether or not you have a legitimate profession of faith, if you want some sort of a diagnostic tool, a way to judge whether or not what you are saying you believe is actually, you're believing it in a way where it's actually impacting the way that you live, he says this, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, tell me the way that you think about the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And by the way that you speak about that, then I'm going to be able to determine, you know, whether or not we have a problem here, if there's something that needs to be diagnosed, if there's some sort of an issue in your Christian thinking or your Christian profession or the way that you're living your Christian life. Now, he adds after that, of course, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, which speaks about holiness, and holiness in our life is another proof of the actual possession of the Holy Spirit, that we're in possession of the Holy Spirit himself. So that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at this issue And we want to be asking ourselves these types of probing diagnostic questions as we go through our discussion today. I want to follow just a very simple outline throughout the broadcast today. First, I want to talk about just how big of an issue this is in our day and age. The issue being the issue of a number of children that are in need of adoption and just the orphan crisis that we have right now, both domestically and internationally. So we'll start the broadcast off there, just looking at some of the statistics, painting a picture of just how pervasive is this problem right now, what are some of the numbers associated with it, and so forth. The second thing I want us to look at on the broadcast today is this. I want to say we, the church, have not given this issue the attention that it deserves. And I want to look at that point. You know, if this issue is as huge as I think we'll see in that first point when we go over this, if we see just how pervasive this is, then how has the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ reacted to that problem? What have we done? What historically, how have we been involved here and so forth? And I think the conclusion that we're going to come up with is that we really have not given this the attention that it deserves in the church. We, above all the people upon the face of the earth, because we have been adopted by the Father through the person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should, of all these people upon the face of the earth, we should be the most interested and involved in this issue. And then in the third portion of the program today, I want to say that the good news is that there is something that we can do, and there's something that we can do immediately in order to make a difference. And I want to tell you specifically about a couple things that are taking place that you can get involved in very quickly to make a difference in this issue. And so there's where we're going in the broadcast. Those are the three points that I want us to keep in mind as we go through our discussion. As I mentioned, the author of the book, Orphan Justice, How to Care for Orphans Beyond Adopting, is going to join us here in just a few minutes on the broadcast, and then we'll start going through those various points there during the broadcast. I want you to, we're going to play a few things during the broadcast as well. We're going to play, there's a documentary that's out entitled Stuck that really tells the numbers and the story very well. I want you to hear, now for the folks that are listening over the radio airwaves, you will be able to hear the audio associated with this 2 or 3 minute trailer. And so we'll play that in just a minute here. And so you'll be able to hear some of the numbers. And I had the producer of that documentary with me on the program, and you can go back and listen to that. It's out there on sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth website. You can go there and listen to that interview. But I want to tell the folks that are watching the webcast today, the live webcast via Sermon Audio, that you are going to be able to, during the broadcast today, you are actually going to be able, at the bottom of the hour, to watch the trailer as well. So you'll be able to actually see the images there as well as hear the audio during the break. What we're going to do is we'll go ahead and play the regular break here for the folks in the listening audience. They'll hear the regular commercials, but the folks that are watching online, they will actually be able to see the trailer being played there as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit about Stuck. We'll talk a little bit about the current situation with orphans and what's going on in adoption right now. And then we'll talk about how we as Christians should give this greater attention. And then I'll give you some really good resources as to how you can give it greater attention. Let's go ahead and listen to the audio right now from the documentary Stuck. And then we'll get Johnny on the line and we'll start our interview from there.
The current international adoption process takes nearly 3 years and costs around $28,000.
And the most frustrating part is that all of these kids have families. All of these kids have homes in the U.S., and they have for years.
I've applied like three different times for the same adoption.
It's been 3.5 years. No one has come for him. We are his only hope.
In the past 5 years, the number of children adopted into the U.S. has plummeted by 50%.
Millions of children are denied the opportunity to thrive.
My son has virtually no teeth on the top. They've all decayed because they're not getting proper nutrition.
The first time we entered an institution, we were speechless. Raising children almost the way you'd raise cattle.
The world has stopped paying attention, and it's failing.
We thought we were going to be one of those families stuck forever. And then in 2 or 3 days, our situation changed completely.
We made the request to the State Department to get those 3,000 children out of Haiti.
All the children in the middle of an adoption process were able to come home.
We saw Erickson being carried out, and we just ran.
We don't need earthquakes or tsunamis. There are millions of children in need, thousands dying every day. Why don't we do something about it?
We want each of these senators to know if we shut down international adoptions, what we are saying to the children is that they don't matter.
The right to a family is a basic human right, and our policies have to start recognizing that.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
We were toasting, and he said to family, I was like, okay, I have to go somewhere and cry right now. It's too much.
Okay, there you have it. That's the audio from the documentary Stuck. And let me tell you that we're going to go ahead and have a public viewing of that documentary right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We're going to be showing it at the church that I pastor next Wednesday night. The church that I pastor is called the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. It's located out on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. It's right on the corner of Highway 25 and Blue Ridge Drive. And next Wednesday night at 6:30, we'll have a public showing of that. It's open to the public. Come on over, and we'd love to have you there and come and watch this this documentary. It's a very powerful documentary. I watched it the other night with my wife, and just very moving, the entire situation that takes place there. They actually follow a number of children in the that are orphans, and it follows them in their orphanages in different places around the globe, and it follows the families that are trying to adopt these children. And as the producer said there in the clip that we played, you know, it takes 3 years, up to 3 years in many of these cases, $28,000 and this tremendous amount of time. And during that 3 years, things take place in the life of these children. They deteriorate, their health deteriorates and so forth, being in these orphanages. And so we've got a huge problem taking place. And the good news is there is something that we can do about it. Let's go to the phone line. I mentioned earlier that Johnny Carr would be joining us. Johnny is the author of a book called Orphan Justice, How to Care for Orphans Beyond Adopting. And Johnny is the National Director of Church Partnership at Bethany Christian Services. It's the nation's largest adoption and orphan care agency. And he and his wife, they live in, I think, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they have five children. Three of his youngest are adopted. Johnny, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It is my pleasure to be with you.
Johnny, I don't know if you heard the first part of the broadcast, but I laid out just a quick outline of where I wanted to go in the broadcast, so maybe we could do this. First part was I wanted to tell a little bit about the current status of adoption and orphan care and just talk about that clip, you know, tells us a little bit there very succinctly about, you know, we're talking about a broken system here. Second thing I wanted to talk about was that we, the church, have not given this issue the attention that it deserves. And then in the third part of the broadcast, I want to tell people that the good news is that there is something that they can do, and there's something that they can do immediately. And I want to make sure that they're aware of a couple of resources like your book and other things that we can point to that they can get involved in this situation very quickly. So if it's okay with you, that's the outline we'll follow. So if you would, bring us up to speed. What are we talking about and with the problems associated today with adoption and orphan care?
Yeah, well, I did not hear all that you discussed earlier, so I may be covering some things that you've already talked about. I think one of the first things is most of us, and I certainly was not, just educated on the reality of orphans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the first thing that really hit me after we adopted our first son and we walked into his orphanage and what we experienced there was the fact that I just knew so little mm-hmm. about, you know, what the reality is. And it's complicated. And I think that maybe one thing that, that scares a lot of people from really diving into it. And then I think the other part of it is it's just so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a number like 153 million orphaned and vulnerable children in the world, and I don't know that I've ever seen 153 million of anything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so hard for us to even get our heads around and wrap around a number like that, and then to think that we could do something about it. So one of the things that I did in the book was I really tried to take some time to explain a definition of orphan. And hearing that number of 153 million, because it is overwhelming, but when we start to break it down, we start to see that there's really kind of groups out there. It does not mean that there are 153 million kids that have lost both parents. That's a misunderstanding that a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
When that number is given and the definition of orphan is a child that's lost one or both parents. Now, some people would say, well, why would we count those that have lost one parent? In most situations, or actually two-thirds of the time, they've lost the father first. And in most cultures, when the father is gone, the mother has no rights or has very limited rights. In many cases, they lose their land, or they have no right to get a job, or no right for their children to get an education. And so these kids are then put into situations that are where they are extremely vulnerable to the ills of society, a lot of the issues that we would call social justice issues. So that could be trafficking, that could be HIV and AIDS, it could be extreme poverty. And so the kids are put into those situations. And then talking about the double orphans, and that's the term we use to say that they've lost both parents, there's about 18 million is generally the number that's understood of kids that have lost both parents.
Hmm.
And then going further into that, we've got street kids. We've got kids that have just really been abandoned, or we've got parents who have just refused to parent their children. And so the numbers just get larger and larger, and I haven't seen Stuck either. I've only seen the trailer so far, but I'm sure he dives into that these numbers are just huge. But as you said, and I'm glad we're going to talk about it later in the show, there are things that we can do, even if we can't be an adoptive parent, that we can make a difference. And so it's just really overwhelming, but we have to dive into this because it's such a serious issue. And these are real children with real lives, and we as the church have to step up and really begin to minister in ways that are intentional and I think biblical as well.
Mm. Johnny, also speak under that heading about the crisis itself, and thank you very much for that summary that you just gave. I think that was really, really well said. But within that heading as well, we have another group of kids in there that I just want to make sure that we mention here as well. And that's those are the kids that have special needs. These are almost a subset within that group. Some people even speaking about them as being those that are unadoptable, that they don't get much attention. They're even the case is even more difficult for them. You yourself, I watched some of the videos out on your website as well, actually adopted a child with special needs as well. So talk a little bit about that subject, if you would, please.
Yeah, and you're right that it is kind of a subset within itself. And actually, all three of our adopted children are special needs kids.
Okay.
Our first two are deaf, and then our son that we adopted through the foster system is also profoundly deaf, but he was born at 25 weeks, and so he has several other challenges as well. He had what's called a diaphragmic hernia, where his stomach was actually in his chest, and so they had to do what's called a fundoplication. So he's taking his nutrition through a G-tube, and he has chronic lung disease. Matter of fact, he's homesick today just because of the weather gets him down pretty quickly. But you're right. The issue with special needs kids, you know, here in the United States, with my youngest son's example, his mother was in the foster care system herself and was a single mom, about 17 years old. And he was more than she could handle. She tried to parent him, but because his needs were so severe, she just could not. And so she finally had to relinquish him to the state because he was having a failure to thrive. And that wasn't because she didn't care. She just really wasn't equipped to be able to care for a child with these significant needs.
Mm.
And so that's sometimes the situation. Other times, as in some countries, there are mystical beliefs about children with special needs. That they have, especially in the Eastern cultures in China and places like that, where feng shui is so important, the balance of life. And so many will see these children as having an imbalance, which means that they have some type of evil spirit.
Hmm.
And so it may not be that the parents aren't willing or don't love their children, but their community will not allow the child to stay. Because they see the child as bringing bad luck on the entire apartment complex or the entire village. And so they are forced to relinquish their children to an orphanage because they're considered to be bad luck. I've even heard of extreme situations where pregnant women will not even walk into the room of a child that has special needs because they fear that the spirit will jump out of the child and into their child.
Hmm.
And so There are issues like that that are faced, and then when we start to factor in poverty and extreme poverty, that you've got a parent who loves their child, they want to do for their child, but because they're just so poor, they just can't provide for the needs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my little boy, JJ, again, the one that was born here in the United States. In most other countries, he would have never survived, and he wouldn't even be alive today because they're just wouldn't have the medical care to even take care of him. So you're right. We have to step up. We have to step forward. And let me go ahead and go here because I talk about this in the book too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today in the United States, the number of children with Down syndrome continues to go down that are being born.
Mm.
And it's not because we're making medical advances in that area, but it's because so many more are choosing abortion when they find out that their child may have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
So one statistic I found is that 93% of couples who find out their child may have Down syndrome is choosing abortion now. So only 7% are actually being born.
Oh, boy, that's just terrible. I've had a little bit of personal experience just the last few days. I was at a birthday party where there was a boy there that had Down syndrome, and he was just so wonderful. I followed him around. They were outside playing. We had beautiful weather here in Greenville. Sorry, Johnny, you're in Pittsburgh there. You wouldn't know about this. I'm originally from Buffalo, so I know. you'll experience this, Johnny, maybe somewhere around July 15th or something. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're ready to shoot that groundhog right now.
But, you know, the little boy was climbing and hanging out with the other children. I mean, it was just, talk about just destroying so many of the stereotypes associated with it.
Mm.
I also posted on my Facebook page yesterday a story about a little boy with Down syndrome who owns his own restaurant. It was sent to me from the folks from the Truth Project. They had put it out. And he said ever since he was a young boy that he wanted to own his own restaurant. And the parents said, oh, you know, that's nice and this type of thing. And, you know, thinking, well, this is is never going to actually take place. He actually, now a number of years has gone by, but he actually owns his own restaurant. And he has Down syndrome, and they think that he's the only Down syndrome child that they know of that is actually an owner-operator of his own restaurant. So the stereotypes associated with this are just ridiculous, you know, and there's plenty of cases that speak otherwise. Johnny, I wanted to talk a little bit then and switch our attention in the second part of the program to talk a little bit about that the church needs to be looking at this issue again and giving it the attention that it deserves. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, then we'll go ahead and start on that subject. Let me mention to the folks that are watching the live webcast on Sermon Audio right now, during the break, you're going to be able to actually watch the Stuck documentary clip that we played, the trailer. You'll see that while the folks here in Greenville will be listening to some of the commercials that take place. And then when we come back, we'll merge those two things back together again so that everybody's listening and watching the same thing. So stay tuned. We'll be back with our special guest, Johnny Carr, in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is John MacArthur. In Jesus were blended perfect humanity and deity, making him the only sacrifice for the sins of the world and the worthy Lord of those who believe.
One perfect life. Jesus of Nazareth, a Palm Sunday special with pastor and teacher John MacArthur. In this dramatic portrayal from the four Gospels, come face to face with Jesus Christ in his final week before the cross. Join us here for One Perfect Life.
This Sunday morning at 8 on Christian Talk 660.
When Jesus called Matthew to be a disciple, he invited his friends over to meet Jesus. How'd you like to introduce your friends to Jesus? You can, through My Hope America with Billy Graham. We're meeting with pastors and all Christians who want their family and friends to really know Jesus. We'll give you the tools to reach him, just like Matthew did. Join us on Tuesday, March 26th at 9 a.m. at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville. Find details online at myhopewithbillygraham.org. That's myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Some of America's bravest warriors are returning home wounded. Here's one of them.
My name is Norberto Lara. I served for 11 years in the United States Army. While I was on a combat patrol in Baqaba, Iraq, a rocket-propelled grenade took my arm off at the shoulder. When I came home, I felt alone. My family was around me, but I couldn't talk to them about what I'd seen and what I'd done. I remember just thinking, man, the way I am right now, I don't want to live. I was discharged from the Army, and I've been working with the Wounded Warrior Project since 2007. You don't have to be severely wounded to be with the Wounded Warrior Project. We do have a lot of guys that have post-traumatic stress disorder. Being able to share your story, I guess it kind of helps you wrap your mind around what did happen over there. Just because you have left the military doesn't mean your life is over. Because when these guys are coming home, I'm kind of leading and training them. Instead of for combat, I'm leading and training them to heal. If I come away with anything from Wounded Warrior Project, it's them giving my life back. My name is Norby, and yes, I do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm okay.
Don't suffer in silence. Contact WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Each weekday morning at 9 o'clock, Dr. R.C. Sproul teaches you how to contend for the faith. Tell a friend, renewing your mind is on Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're talking about the subject of orphans today on the broadcast. And the title of the book that we're looking at today is called Orphan Justice. And the book is authored by Johnny Carr, and Johnny is our guest on the program today. Let me tell you how you can find out more about Johnny, about this book, about some other resources. In fact, a lot of other resources that they offer on their website as well. The website to go to in order to find out all that information is www.orphanjustice.com. That's www.orphanjustice.com. And you can go out there in order to find out more about the book, to watch a little trailer that they have out there on orphan justice as well. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of other resources out there that you can take advantage of. There's not just the book, but there's information about Orphan Justice Weekend. There's resources that are out there about how to help you as you're reading through the book. And so you can find out more there. There's some media, multimedia out there as well. There are some Skype interviews that Johnny has done on other broadcasts or with other bloggers and so forth that have been writing and speaking about this particular subject as well. There's more about Johnny and his family and his own story. There's, of course, information about how you can get a copy of this book for yourself. I'm going to go ahead and give away a couple copies of the book during the live broadcast today. So if you'd like a copy of the book, we're going to go ahead and give you the toll-free number here at the station. This number is good nationwide. The number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Once again, that's 1-888-660-9535, and then you can find out all the information or call in here in order to give us your question or comment about orphan care, about adopting. Maybe you've adopted and you want to share a little bit of your experience with adoption as well, and be happy to take your question or comment that way. And then we'll get a copy of this book sent out to you, courtesy of B&H Publishing. We'll have them send you a copy in the mail. Also, we're going to be mentioning a couple of other websites during the broadcast today. Towards the end of the broadcast, I want to let you know about a couple of other resources and ways that you can get involved right now in order to make a difference with this issue. That's where we're going in the third part of our broadcast today. Let me mention that Dan Kruver, I spoke to Dan yesterday, who's, of course, involved heavily in this topic as well. He's got a website called togetherforadoption.com. You can go out to their website. He actually has Johnny's book featured right there out on the homepage on togetherforadoption.com. They have a national conference coming up. I'm going to be doing some live broadcasts from that conference, and I think it's in Louisville, Kentucky in October. And so you can find out some information about that out there as well. And so a lot happening in with this whole topic of adoption, and we really have a lot of resources now that we can take advantage of, and I'm going to let you know about more of those towards the close of the broadcast today. Let's go back to our discussion with Johnny just before the break. Johnny, I was saying we as the church, we have not given this issue the attention that it deserves for various reasons. We just have kind of looked the other way. We have not been as involved here as we should have, especially in light of the fact that we know something about adoption because we ourselves have been adopted by the Father into his family through the glorious person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With that as being our heritage, as what has taken place with us, our experience, certainly we, above all the people upon the face of the earth, should have some sort of an interest in orphans and adoption. I imagine that you would agree with that statement.
I would. And I think from my own personal experience, I grew up in Southern Baptist circles and pretty conservative Southern Baptist churches and was ordained in that setting. And I know for me growing up in the 80s and kind of cutting my teeth on ministry in the 90s, that there was such a separation from anything associated with the social gospel that we just really put our arms out at anything associated with that. And I think for many of us that we kind of grouped this idea of orphan care into being a social gospel, and because it's so tied in with so many social issues. And that's, of course, what I've done with the book is to take these social issues and to say, well, that may be true. And the social gospel, if we didn't share a verbal witness, then we were wrong. We can't just feed their bellies and not share with them the good news of the gospel. But we can't just give the good news of the gospel without feeding their bellies, too, if they're hungry. Mm-hmm. And so many of us put it as a either-or instead of a both-and. And so by knowing that, as you said, it's clear through Scripture that orphans had a special place in God's heart. This whole idea of adoption was, you know, it's clearly laid out in Scripture. So we can come back and understand that we have to care for orphans, but by doing that, it means that we also do have to dive into these messy issues of poverty and trafficking and HIV and all these other things. And so that's what we've tried to do with the book, is to tie everything back into that, to say that we no longer need to put our arms out at that. We've got to go out as the church and be strategic in how we minister and really find out how we can make a difference in the lives of these kids that are out there and need our help.
Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny, you're so right about the way that we had looked at social issues, and we wrongly concluded a few things. You know, we assumed that to be involved in those things meant that we necessarily needed to jettison the gospel. And what's happened now, fortunately, and praise the Lord that he has brought this about, is people are now looking at this again and saying, wait a second, this can be done without jettisoning the gospel. In fact, we're looking at it completely different than that even. We're saying, wait a second, this is part of the gospel. This is an expression of the gospel. Far from setting the gospel aside and saying, well, you know, that we can't do this with the gospel here, far from doing that, we're saying because of the gospel, the way the gospel has impacted our heart forces us, you know, we do not well to keep our peace, like those four lepers said in 2 Kings. If we don't do something, surely some evil will come upon us, that we've got to reach out and do something because of the fact that the grace of God has so impacted our heart. So people, we really don't need to be afraid of it the way that it was spoken about previously. There really is another way of looking at this that you guys have articulated so well.
You know, I'm preparing to speak on Saturday at a conference, and really the kind of the outline I'm using here is when children are outside of the family, that is a display that the gospel is denied, because that is exactly, as I'm just using Ephesians 2 here, I'm looking at the words that Paul used, that we're dead, we're children of wrath, we're separated and alienated and divided by a wall of hostility. And when children are outside of family, that's exactly what's happened. And then the gospel is displayed when we bring children into family. And again, just going with that Ephesians 2, he says you go from being those things we just said to actually being sons of God, to being in the family. I'm trying to remember here the exact wording he used there, but it's a beautiful imagery of being in the household of God. That's the terminology he uses there.
Yes.
And then it's the gospel proclaimed, because as people see that, they see that it's amazing. Every Chinese family that we meet that was actually born and raised in China, when they hear our story and they see that we have adopted these children with special needs, they always say the same thing. It's amazing. They say, you have a good heart. You have a good heart. And I love it, because I always say, no, my heart is bad, but Jesus made my heart good. And every time I've had an opportunity to share a verbal witness with our Chinese friends, because of when they see the gospel displayed in our lives through the adoption of our children, it just opens the doors, because honestly, in their mindset and in their worldview, it blows it away. You know, because they just cannot understand it.
Yeah, you're so right, Johnny. We started the broadcast off by looking at James 1:27, and I was talking about the purpose of James' writing, and what you're describing here is the gospel put on display. And James, you know, James, a faith that works. You know, we see the gospel working in the life of the believer, and then the outreach of that gospel to others that are round about us. And so we've really come full circle here. I want to quickly, if we could, Johnny, I want to go to the phone lines and give some folks some opportunity to participate in the program today. We've got Jim on the line from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Well, this is really a separate program. It's the same issue, but a separate program. A lot of these parents that adopt these kids, it's a real mission field, and that some are good experience and some are bad. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to say because you don't know who's listening, but I have a family member who's adopted, too, and it's really been a bad experience. They were very young. She's had it for many years, and they're turning on her because of the way their parents raised her, not the way she's doing it. It's a real mission field. I like to hear a program of those who are having problems with adoption. Also.
Yeah, that would be an excellent program, and I don't think that anybody is intending to say that this is easy. I don't think that you should go into it with some sort of expectation that, you know, it, just with kids in general, right? Any sort of parenting in general, with your eyes shut, not realizing that this is going to be a difficult task. But
it's like a Down syndrome child. You would not want to not have one because some of you have such great experiences, but some families will divorce over. So I'm not trying to discourage people. I'm just saying these people need encouragement financially, physically, and a pat on the back because it's a real struggle with some of these adopted kids.
Oh, definitely. And I think that that's where the church comes into play. And let me toss it to Johnny. I'm going to let you go, Jim.
Thanks.
And Jim, shoot me an email. You can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Include your mailing address in it, and I'll get you one of the copy of one of these books mailed out to you. Thank you so much for listening there in Tennessee, and thanks for your comment. Let me toss it to Johnny. Johnny, I don't know if you could hear that well. Sometimes it's a little difficult for the guests to hear the callers. But summing it up, Jim was just cautioning that, some of the adoptive situations are very difficult and that people should understand that going in, especially when we're talking about special needs children.
That is very, very true. And in the book, I actually share an experience where we attempted to adopt a child out of foster care that was an older child. And as we got into the process, we had to stop. And it was the most painful thing that my family has ever gone through. And I tried to be very open about that, but at the same time respecting the child's privacy. And so we didn't share, of course, everything. But I think enough that people can see that this can be very, very difficult. But what you said in your answer, you're right, I couldn't hear everything, but what you said in your answer was so good. That's why we need the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the church really must come around families. What we're seeing right now is we've seen kind of phase one of orphan ministry happen in a lot of churches where there's awareness and there are families who are actually going out and adopting children. Phase two is these families are adopting children with significant issues, and they're bringing their kids into church, and the church is going, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of an awakening. And fortunately, we're seeing more churches really take seriously this idea of special needs ministry. When we moved to Pittsburgh about a year and a half ago, and we would go around and we were trying to find a church here, We got some really strange looks when we walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my children are Chinese, and my youngest son is African-American, and then my wife and I and our two children born to us are Caucasian. And even with JJ, because of his G-tube, we have an emergency kit because he couldn't vomit, just to be very frank.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever he would get sick, you would have to hook up his emergency kit to relieve his stomach. And, you know, you've got some banker working in the nursery that's just volunteered to come down. And you walk in and hand them an emergency kit and say, you know, do this and do that and plug him up. And if he starts choking, this is what you have to do. It frightens them.
Yeah.
And so you're right. We have to come around. We have to provide support for the families. And that really is where the church ties into all this.
Hey, rubber meet the road Christianity right there, right? I mean, the gospel is great enough and big enough and powerful enough to be able to overcome these obstacles. That's what we're looking at. Now, we're not saying that in a casual way and, you know, just with some sort of overly optimistic viewpoint. We're saying, though, but as the gospel impacts the life of not only the people that are doing the adopting, but as we're talking about the family of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel can enable us to be able to do this job. We can do this in a way that is honoring and glorifying to God, which is our ultimate objective, and the gospel can enable each one of us to be able to do that. Johnny, I want to switch here very quickly to give some folks some resources and some ways that they can help right now. Like you said a little bit earlier during the broadcast, not everyone can adopt. Not everyone maybe should adopt. As you were talking, your own situation at a certain point, it just wasn't going to work out well for the child or for anyone involved to adopt at that particular time. So there are situations like this, and not everyone, we're not saying that in order to be a real Christian, you know, you've got to start the adoption process right now. But what we are saying is that not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And that's where these resources come in. Now, this is an issue that is just recently been brought home to my heart personally, because my daughter Rachel and her husband Tyler have decided to adopt a special needs child from Eastern Europe. And so they are currently, the stage that they're at, they're about to have the home inspection done, you know, where they're going to come in and do the home study. That's the stage that they're at. But I want to give the folks here in Greenville, South Carolina, especially, and the folks watching on the webcast, I want to give you a website that you can go to find out about this particular case. As we mentioned, the need is $28,000 for them to be able to do this. This is a special needs child. The little girl's name is Laura. Those watching right now via the webcast can see Laura's picture on the webcast right now. And they have just begun. They have a special website set up. The website is www.flylikeabee.com. Rachel is very, very creative. My daughter, Rachel, she's a professional photographer, and she's very creative. But it's flylikeabee.com. And when you go out there, you will hear about Laura's story. You'll hear a little bit, see a little bit about Rachel and Tyler. And there's a button out there where you can donate. Now, right now, they need $28,000 ultimately to be able to do this. There's $264 that have been donated so far. So they've got a long way to go. Listen, if you're listening to this broadcast and you say, I want to do something to be able to help, well, here's one that I can personally recommend to you. Obviously, my own daughter, I've got a vested interest here. I will actually be involved in helping them. They go to our church here, where our church will be involved in supporting them and helping them in this project. So I can just tell you from my own personal experience, you know, how you can be involved in something here. So there you have it, flylikeabee.com. Go out there, check out the picture of Laura and her situation, and see if that's something that the Lord would have you involved in. Now, this is coming from a guy who has been pastoring the church there for, I don't know, 16, 17 years. We have never taken up an offering at the church. I have a box at the back of the church, and we just have people put in the offering as the Lord leads them in the back. I'm not even saying that's the right way to do it. It's just something that we have done for these many years, and the Lord has met our needs there. So me asking for somebody to donate to something is just not something that I do, but I feel so strongly about this that I want to point you to that page, flylikeabee.com. Now, Johnny, you tell us about some of the other resources then that are available for people to get involved in this topic and this this cause right now. What should they do?
Well, at the end of each chapter in the book, we were very, very specific to make sure that we gave people action steps, things that they could do. So if you read the chapter on HIV and AIDS, at the end of the chapter, there are things that people can do today, right now. And we even broke these down into three categories: something that anyone can do, something that many people could do, and something that really only a few people would do. So each one has different levels of commitment, time, and those types of things. And then on the website, you mentioned earlier our Orphan Justice website, for each chapter, we actually went in and put links to all different types of ministries and organizations that people can go and learn and get involved with those today. So if you are really concerned about poverty and extreme poverty, there's ways that you can get involved internationally through an organization like Hope International that Peter Greer runs up here in Pennsylvania, where they do microfinance so that they can teach people about how to start their own business. And they give them a loan, and that loan allows them to the resource that they need to start a business. They coach them in that. They share the gospel with them. It's a wonderful organization. So $100, you can actually help someone start their own business somewhere. Right there in Greenville, there's a wonderful ministry that we have called Safe Families for Children.
Yes, I've had Tracy Weldy on the broadcast. Excellent.
Okay, very good. So Safe Families for Children is a way that you can get involved. You might be a host family, and this is for children whose families are in crisis. And if someone doesn't help them, the child will have to go to foster care.
Yes.
So Safe Families allows us to keep the child out of foster care. But even more than that, I'm sure Tracy shared with you that the church surrounds the host families to help provide the meals that they need, or maybe it's diapers or a baby bed or things like that while they are hosting that child in their home.
Yes.
So those are some ways that you can right now start getting involved without adopting or without becoming a foster parent.
Johnny, I just had a family call me about 2 days ago, and they said, we got this situation, a little boy going through a tremendous amount of trouble, and, you know, it looked like it was to the crisis point, and this, they, you know, we could be taken away, a DSS or some sort of foster care, and I gave them Tracy's number and put them in touch with Tracy to get involved here in this situation. So that is such a worthy organization as well, Bethany Christian Service, and then this was the Safe Children or organization or wing of Bethany Christian Service. It was really good. Johnny, our time has run out today, but I want to, first of all, thank you for writing this book and bringing the topic to the church again so that we at least start talking about it again and looking at what we can do. But also, I know you're very busy with your speaking schedule and the help that you're bringing to this great need. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to visit with us for a little bit here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, it is my pleasure, Kevin, and thank you for making this an issue and giving us time to talk about it.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend. Again, thank you very much. Again, that was Johnny Carr. Johnny is the author of the book that we were talking about today, and the book is entitled Orphan Justice. I gave you his website as well. You can find out more about Johnny, about some of those things that he mentioned. You know, he was talking, if you get the book and then you go through the book, he's got a some help out there, some questions to ask and some ways to implement each one of the chapters of the book. That's available out on his website. That website is orphanjustice.com, orphanjustice.com. I also mentioned Together for Adoption and their website and the good work that Dan Kruver and the folks over there at Together for Adoption are doing. You can go out to their website, www.togetherforadoption.com. You can find out more out there about them. I mentioned that if you want to specifically get involved with bringing a little girl from Eastern Europe, a little girl with special needs, to right here, to the upstate of South Carolina. If you're listening right here in the area and you say, you know, I want to do something, and I want to do something that I can, you know, actually see the tangible impact of it right here in our town, in our area here. Well, I gave you the website for my daughter and her husband, Tyler, and that website is flylikeabee.com. You can go out there and make a donation and encourage them, send them an email to encourage them in what they're doing as well. And then last but certainly not least, I mentioned that next Wednesday night we're going to be showing the brand new documentary that's out. It's actually in theaters in other parts of the country. And in those areas where it's in the theater, they can't even buy the DVD yet. But we have a copy of the DVD. We're going to be showing it next Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest. You're welcome to come. We'll have some refreshments available there as well. 6:30, it'll end by 8 o'clock. We'll try to have some nursery available there as well. But come on out and see this documentary. Get involved in this issue. The church can make a huge difference in this issue. We should, because we have been adopted ourselves. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio. Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.